You guys excited to be here? Yeah, yeah. It's good to see all you guys' faces. We're going to have a good night tonight, amen? Awesome. Well, hey, before we get going, I just want to welcome those of you who are new here. And so just a little bit, this is our Believer's Service. If you've never been to this before, we don't know exactly what's going to happen here tonight. So we're just going to be led, and we're going to have a good time. And so if you're new with us, we actually have a gift waiting for you after the service. You'll see a bunch of gift bags out in our lobby. We'd love to meet you. And so come by, say hi. And and we're going to take up our offering right now and get that. This is sort of bad saying it this way, but just getting it out of the way because we don't know how we're going to end. So, but let's go ahead and take care of that right now so you can go ahead and get prepared for that. There's envelopes in front of you, or you can give online through our website or through our app. You know, with our offering, our tithes and offerings, you know, why aren't you playing, dog?
Try to change some of this. Sorry. That sucks.
Like something's missing here, you know?
I'm letting you down. I'm sorry.
No, we give our tithes and offerings. You know, we do that to honor God, you know, just because it's something we honor him with, knowing that he does provide each and every single day for us, and we step out in faith when we give to him what's his. Amen? And so let's just pray over that. Father, we just thank you for these tithes and offerings. We just call them blessed, Father. I thank you, God, that we just trust you with our finances, God. We hold nothing back from you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you that you are just so faithful, Father, to provide for us and to just increase our lives each and every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So along some of these lines, I just want to encourage you. I got a little something before service started. And that was, if you came into this building tonight and you aren't expecting, I want to change that. And so I know the offering buckets are passing by, but if that's you, I just want us to say, just to close our eyes, you know, wait for the buckets to pass you if they've already had. But let's just close your eyes and just repeat after me. Say, Father, I come tonight expecting your presence, expecting answers, expecting to hear from you. Father, I cast my cares unto you, and I put my focus and my mind on you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the Lord is good. How's everybody doing tonight? Everybody doing good? Welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. Praise God. No, you cannot go for a ride. All right. Well, God is good. Amen. Let's just take a moment, and let's just, you can just stay seated, but let's praise God for a moment, would you? No song, just out of your own mouth. Just thank him, glorify him, praise him. Father, we worship you today. We glorify your name. We praise and magnify you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Thank you. They are new every morning. You are the most holy, most faithful, wonderful Father. You're better than we could ask. You're more than we could ever imagine up, conjure up in our own thoughts. You far exceed everything we need. You far surpass any good thing that we have ever known. You are greater, and you are stronger. And you are mightier, and you are more wonderful, and more beautiful, and more powerful. And you are the all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving God. We serve you. We worship you. We glorify your name. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you in this place. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing you do. We worship you. We thank you. Your glory is desirable. Your presence is a good thing to us. We want it. We desire it. We enjoy it more than the presence of any human being, more than any activity or more than any physical object. We enjoy and we treasure your presence. Every word that you speak, it is a treasure to our ears. It's music to us. It's joy and peace to us. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you. Thank you for working in our lives, for every good thing you've done. Lord, for every good thing, we thank you. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We worship you today. We glorify you. We magnify your great name. Lord, be honored and magnified in this house. We bless your name. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we praise you. We worship you. We worship and adore your great name. We worship and adore you. You are the significant one. You are the one for whom we live, for whom and to whom we live. You're the author of every good thing, the author of life. You're the beginning and the end. Thank you, Father. You're our creator, and you are our redeemer and savior and king. We worship you for all that you are, for all that you do. We praise you and worship you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks. We give you praise, for you do all things well. You are wonderful. You are so good, so good, so gracious, and so kind, so patient with us, so patient. Oh, Shemanda Legea, we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name. We praise you for all that you have done. For all that you have done. For all that you are at work doing in us today. By your power, by your spirit, you move in us. You stir us, enlighten us. You make our way clear. You make our pathway known. And you do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. We honor and treasure and value you working in our lives today. We're not alone. We're not alone. We're not left behind. But here we are today, right here with you, right on time in the right place. Thank you, Lord, that you redeem. You are able to redeem those things that have been lost by us, even sometimes because of us. Now you redeem and set things right. Set things back in place. Restore and renew and make whole. Oh, we praise you. We thank you. You are the God of peace, the God of wholeness, the God of perfection, the God of multiplication. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name. We praise you and honor you in this place. All the glory. All the honor, all the praise be unto you, Most High. We bring to you the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the victory. Thank you, Lord, for giving us freedom. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your plan for our lives has been revealed. No longer in darkness, no longer wandering about in confusion. We walk with you. You are our light. You are our life. We look to you. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for working in us today. Praise to you. Praise to you. Glory to your name. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you, Lord, more than anyone or anything. We adore you. We worship you. You are so good to us. So, so good. Bless you, Lord. We bless you with our souls. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless you, Lord. We bless you. We minister unto you. We worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. Father, we're not looking to ourselves or our own strength tonight. We're not looking to our own efforts to do what's right. But we're leaning on you with all of our hearts. We're trusting in you with everything within us. We're relying upon your Spirit to move through us and in us and manifest. We thank you. We do not win by our own might or power, but by your Spirit we do. We overcome. We overcome in every situation. It's all done through you. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You're so good to us, Lord. So good, so good, so good. We worship you, Lord. Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute and take a minute and praise the Lord some more. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. We glorify you. Some of you might have run out of gas, but don't. It's only been like 10 minutes. He's worthy of our praise. Worthy of all praise. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor and bless you tonight. So wonderful you are. So wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. So good, so good. Hallelujah. Lord, we take pleasure in pleasing you. It is our delight. It is our delight to worship you. We delight ourselves in you. We delight ourselves in your way. To see things your way. To live your way. We delight ourselves in you today. You're so wonderful. So good. So gracious. So precious to us. More than anything. More than silver or gold or any earthly thing. We treasure and value you. You're the reason we live. And in you we do live and move and have our being. In you, we walk by faith and end up seeing. In you, it's all in you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship and give all praise to you. Blessed be your name forever. Blessed be your name forever, forever, forever. Forever, forever, forever. Hallelujah. Bless your name. You're so good to us, Lord. Oh, Shamadala. Hallelujah. Praise to you. Praise to you, magnificent one. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Praise God forever. Praise you, Master. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, O Lord. Bless your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Manichaea. Hallelujah. You're so good to us, Lord. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We magnify you, Lord. Thank you for doing good things in our lives today. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good to us. Praise God. You're so good to us, Lord. Praise to you. Praise to you. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You're so good to us, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise to you, praise to you. Glory to God. You're so good to us, Lord. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Carrie, let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the power of God. Thank you for your bestimado robos e de valadangasia. Thank you for the moving of your spirit in his life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Full of faith, full of power. Thank you, full of faith, full of power. Full of faith, full of power. Full of faith, full of power. Thank you, Lord. Good things for him this hour. Good things in this day. Good things in this day. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. His desires are your desires. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you're working in him tonight. You're working in him to think and know and do what's right. Thank you. Thank you for the promises of God. Hallelujah. Are coming to pass. Coming to pass. Ben de la Brahma Sukute. Glory to God. Just have it in my heart that you don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord wants you to be encouraged. Encouraged. Your prayers are heard. Your prayers are heard by him. Your prayers are received by him. And don't be concerned about any apparent delay, for these things will come to pass, and what you have asked and what you have desired will come to pass, and they'll come. Just stand. You'll see them come to pass. You'll see these things all manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for what you have desired. Hallelujah is coming to pass. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rhonda, come out here too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty power. Glory to God. Thank you. Fill her now. Fill her once again. Fill her up to overflowing. Thank you, Lord. Wisdom. Wisdom. Yeah, be filled with wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. 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 Know what to do. See it clear. See it clear. Know what to do. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that. Thank you for giving her wisdom. Mandagia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Steps ordered of the Lord. Every step ordered of the Lord. Ordered by him to do what's right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for working in her life. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is good. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name. We magnify your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you praise. Creativity increase. Creativity flow. Creativity increase. And flow in him. Bande banzo gose. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Creativity increase and flow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Creative answers. Creative direction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You're so good to us, Father. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you for working in us today. Lord, we love to be in your presence. We magnify you. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. All right. You're dismissed. Just kidding. Amen. Well, I love to yield to the Spirit of God, and I believe He wants to do great things in all of our lives. I don't know if you've ever wondered or thought about if you wanted God to move in your life more than He wanted to move in your life, but if you ever thought you wanted to do more than He wanted to do, you're wrong. I know I hate to be wrong about stuff, but I'm sure you do as much as I do. But you're wrong if you think that He wants to move in you more, far more than you want Him to move in you. It's true concerning, it's just so many things. How many know He wants people saved more than they want to be saved? And He knows the ramifications more than we do. And He wants people to be healed more than they want to be healed. And if you've ever hurt, you probably wanted to be healed pretty good. And He wanted it more. You know? If you're a parent, you think about how much do you want your kids to have a good life and do well and be blessed? Is it more than they want it? Yes. Why? I mean, you wanted it before they were able to comprehend it, right? And I tell you, the Father is that way towards us. He wants good things in us, for us, towards us, working in our lives more than we want them. So what say, well, He's God. Why doesn't He make it happen? He's making it, if you will, happen in the way that it works. In other words, when we think that way, we say, well, if He wants it more than I want it, He's God, He would just do it. Well, that's assuming that what happens on earth and in our lives is all God. If it were all God, if that was the type of world He created, if that was the type of human beings He created, then yes, we would all, it would be heaven on earth, right? We would all enjoy His best without hesitation. But it doesn't work that way. So He is working in us. And He works toward us by His Spirit, through other individuals, and it is all to the end result where we could receive and enjoy His best in life. And then once we're finished receiving, enjoying, and really participating in His best in this life, we're going to get a reward for doing that. Isn't that kind of cool? It's almost like this is a really good system. You know this, that we don't get rewarded in heaven because we suffered in this life, other than maybe suffering for the Lord through persecution. I believe we'll be rewarded for that. But other types of, you know, if I suffer for whatever reason in this life, things go wrong, I'm not going to be rewarded for that. I'm going to get heaven because of my reception of what Jesus did for me on the cross. You know, that's a reward all by itself. But it almost seems unfair. But if someone receives God's blessings and they have an amazing life, they'll be rewarded for having an amazing life. Why would that be? Because in some way, they were open, they were yielded to His Spirit, and they believed what He promised. Ultimately, we're rewarded for believing. We're rewarded, and then you tie into that, believing and receiving go hand in hand. I'm rewarded then for receiving. So I don't have any money on me, but can I borrow some money? No. If I were to give him $100 and then say, you know what? You received that $100. That is awesome. Here's another $100 just for receiving the $100. That's like, wow, that's a pretty cool deal. It almost doesn't make sense. We'll be rewarded for being rewarded because the blessings of God, everything from forgiveness to the gamut of everything He's promised, comes by faith, and that's the thing that pleases Him. We know that from Hebrews 11:6. That's the thing that pleases God. Amen. Amen. look at if you have a minute. You have a minute? I got some time. And if you have a Bible app, go to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. It's about 80% through. Ephesians chapter 2. If you've been a believer for very long, you're probably familiar with this passage. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. You know that one? Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So we could say it this way. Grace is the God side. Faith is our side. Grace is what God gives to us, undeserved, unmerited, unearned. Faith is what we do. In other words, we believe. In one sense, you can still give all the credit back to God because faith comes by hearing His word. So He gave His word. We heard it. That allowed us to believe so we could receive. It's almost like this is a setup. I'm going to give you something for free, and then I'm going to give you what's needed to get what you get for free. And if you do that, when you're done, I'm going to reward you for getting for free what I gave you. It's almost like He doesn't have any bad parts to this story. Isn't that amazing? But grace is God's part, so I don't really need to be concerned about that. Because, in other words, does God want to? Grace is His middle name. Does He want to do things? And when He says saved here, well, if you're talking saved, eternal life, and for sure that is, that's the biggest gift of all. Yeah, but included in salvation is all the other aspects of being redeemed, like healing and like deliverance and so forth. That's all in the word saved. So He gives that by grace. And what's our part? Faith. Grace is part, faith our part. It is very amazing to me how much God has wrapped up in believing. What do we have to do, Lord? Believe. No, certainly there's a list. Certainly there's a list of qualifiers and a to-do list before I can get some of the amazing gifts from God. I certainly have to check off a few things, right? No, you just believe. I mean, it's amazing. It almost sounds too good to be true. But God has invested all of His promises. They're all tied to something called faith or believing. Amen. Someone said, well, I thought because it was grace, that means it's all God and he does it for everybody. Well, the way the covenant works is the covenant of grace goes like this. It's all God in the giving, and He makes available to everyone equally the benefits of salvation. Right? But those promises, say it's a promise, that means He's good for it, right? That means it'll happen, right? It means this, that if I believe Him, they'll happen. That's the only qualifier. Because if it were 100% God and say, well, He promised He'll do it. When it comes to our personal lives, those promises still must be received. They are not automatic. Now watch, I'm talking personal promises. There are promises or, statements, if you will, things that God said He would do, period, that are independent of me. In other words, if you study end times, you study the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, you'll see that the Lord said, this is going to happen, and this nation's going to do this, and this is going to happen over here, and this man of sin is going to be revealed at this time. And now, those things are going to happen independent of what I believe. And Jesus is going to return for his bride, the church. And if I don't believe that, and if I don't receive that personally, that's not going to stop that from happening. Right? And I'm glad the whole plan of God is not hinging upon me. I'm thankful, you know, he's got that part under control. But when it comes to promises to me, personal promises to me, as far as in this life, those things must be believed to be experienced. Yeah. And that's good news, by the way, because anyone can believe. You can believe. I mean, bad people can believe. So, I don't know about that. Bad people. Think about all the times when Jesus ministered to multitudes. There were multitudes of people, and in multiple situations, recordings, it says Jesus healed them all. All? Thousands. Think about how many rascals there were in there. This is not even a church, by the way. When he healed them all, this is called backslidden Israel. It's called the one that John had to go. The Lord had to send John as a precursor, as a forerunner to Jesus, to tell people to start repenting. They were so far away from God. And those that thought they were right with God, they were religious kooks, fanatics. They were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they'd have their own internal fighting, and they were all about themselves and full of pride and everything else. And so you got a multitude of people, and those were the leaders, those Pharisees and Sadducees. That's a tough church to be in. And then Jesus shows up preaching and speaking with great authority and wisdom and great signs and wonders, and he goes and steps out, and everyone in the crowd gets healed. You know for certain that is not about someone checking the box. Well, I prayed today. I didn't lie today. You know, no. Just believing carries such great weight with God, no matter where we are. And when you and I approach him, let's not consider anything else. When we approach him to ask him to work, to do something, to do, or basically to do what he promised he would do, then we go and we're only mindful of him. I've given this illustration before, and it'll bear repetition, and I think I probably heard it somewhere else anyway. But when a person begins to analyze and diagnose their own faith, their faith usually decreases in strength, because our faith is not the object of our faith. It's not the focus of our believing. When I get my eyes off of me saying, do I have enough faith? Do I believe enough? Am I strong enough in faith? And I get my focus onto the author and finisher of my faith, the one who promised to bring about the answer that I can't bring about, or I wouldn't even be asking. I get my focus on him, and my consideration is not my ability, or is not my worthiness, or is not my spiritual level. My focus is on his faithfulness, the integrity of his word. Is it good for what he said it would be? Then what's happening to my faith while I'm not looking at it? Here's the illustration I've used, you know, that some of you may remember. It's like the eye, faith being like the eye. Your eye can't see itself. Everybody look at your eyeball real quick. See, it doesn't perceive itself. It wasn't designed to look at itself. It was designed to look at something and bring that image into the brain. Your faith was designed to look at him, to look at the promise, to consider and focus on God's faithfulness, his integrity. Like I said, when I consider that, oh, this is the Lord who said this. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not messing with me, jerking me around. This is what he said. I'm going to consider that, not my body and how it feels. I'm going to consider that. Not the problem, not the lack, not the issue. I'm going to consider what he said. The longer I consider that and stare at that and focus on him, I tell you, my faith is working right now. Your faith is working while you do that. The moment you look back and say, oh yeah, I must have done something wrong. I must be messing this up somehow. There must be, man, maybe I'm doubting. You know what? I probably watched too much TV last night. And we start finding things wrong. Start finding things that we didn't do right. I didn't do enough of it. I didn't pray enough. I didn't speak the word enough. I wasn't holy enough. Your faith was not designed to look at that. Hallelujah. And so he said, by grace you have been saved through faith. What should we believe? Come to think about it, what should we believe? Well, I can give you three examples. Three ways of saying it. One, number one, I should believe that God will do what he said he would do. That God will do what he said he would do. I should believe that. If he said he will do it, I believe it. So if I find a promise, you remember what Peter said, that we partake of the divine nature by these exceeding great and precious promises. Whatever he promised, you know what a promise is, that just means he said it. Doesn't mean God said, yay, I promise thee. You know, we're even told not to do that. Don't swear by heaven or earth or by anything else. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Right? So that when you give someone your word, that's your promise. You don't say, I promise, because that means your word's no good. Because you're trying to strengthen it. Right? You have to add something to it. Did you promise? Shut up. Did you question my word? Right? So his word, that's when we say his promises. It's just whatever he said he would do. So I should believe. Not just, you know how sometimes people, well, I believe in God. Well, good for you. But what do you believe about him? What do you believe? Believe that what he said he would do, he will do. Second, ready? Second, believe that he has done what he said he would do. In other words, if he said, I did it, then you say, he already did this. This is one of those things I don't even have to ask him to do. Because he already did it. Yeah. You know, things like healing are in that category. He said he would, and then he did. What do you mean he did? Well, when Jesus was being whipped, he was being torn up. The source, root cause of all sickness and disease was going on God's Son. So that you and I could walk free of it. So those are one of those things he already did. So what should I believe? I have faith in God. But believe this, that he already did what he already said he was going to do. And then the third part is when you bring it home. It's from, you can read it if you want. It's from the book of Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. And it says there, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them or have received them, NIV, and you shall have them. So what should I believe? I should believe. I need to get to a point. It doesn't mean I automatically believe this about all things, but I get to a point where I say, I believe that I have received, past tense, what the Lord, or what I asked, what I prayed, what I desired, or even what I spoke out. I believe that at that very moment, I got it. Don't you mean you will get it? No, you have to believe that you have it before you get it. You have to believe that you have it before you get it. You have to believe that you have it in here, by faith, you have it, before you can see it out here, or drive it, or whatever. Huh? You have to get it on the inside. And notice, again and again through Scripture, so much of what God has provided, he has tied to. He's trying to get it to you. He's totally trying to get things to us. Whether it be a blessing or a healing or a financial answer or a spouse or whatever. He's trying to get his best to us. So, because it's not all him, we are on the receiving end of the equation. He's working in us by His Spirit. He's opening eyes right now. You're seeing something you didn't see before. You're coming back to something that you left behind. He'll do that, and He'll do that through people. He's so gracious and so faithful. Saying, "Man, I've blown it. I've been praying and believing, and I thought I was, and now I see I wasn't even believing right." The Lord will send people like me, and He'll send other people across your pathway so that your believing can be molded and shaped and tweaked and fixed, and it can be precise and accurate. And if you need to say anything else, then you'll say something else. If you need to do something else, He'll give that to you. Amen. So never quit, never give up, because He hasn't. He still believes in you. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Remember, you remember one day, Jesus' disciples. You know that reference? You know that kid that had the son throw him in the water and the fire? I thought these guys would just have that memorized. The father brought his son to the disciples of Jesus. And basically, when Jesus showed up, he said, "Here's the deal. I brought my son to your disciples, and this kid had a demon, was possessed." And he said, "They couldn't get him out." Jesus rolled his eyes and everything. I think that's there in the Greek. But what he said is, he said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long do I have to put up with you?" He's like, "What? You couldn't get him out? Seriously? Come on." Because he's just like, "How easy is this?" And then he went ahead and cast the spirit out, and it messed the kid up a little bit, threw him around, and then went out. And the kid all of a sudden was back in his right mind. He's set free from this demonic oppression. And then Jesus followed up and said, they said, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" He said, "It's because of your unbelief." And then he followed up with a strange thing. He said, "This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting." He was endeavoring to get the disciples back into a spiritual mode, into fellowship with God. See, Jesus lived a prayer and fasted life. Sometimes he'd spend all night in prayer. But he was disciplined. He had a relationship with the Father that was so active and powerful that even in situations that didn't work initially, he would get direction and it would be able to be changed. And he was ready to deal with that particular spirit. See, there was another time when Jesus was ministering and he told the spirit to come out and it didn't. Same thing happened to Jesus as it did with the disciples. I don't know if you recall that. He cast the spirit out and it didn't come out. So what did he do? He said, "Well, it's the will of my Father that you be demon possessed." No. He knew it was all on this side. He knew God's grace was sufficient. It's just about believing. And so he changed what he did. Now, you might not see this because it happens so quick. When you're reading verses, you see it happens so quick. But then he said, "What's your name?" The Spirit speaks to the guy and says, I think he kind of sounded like the Borg or something. "I am Legion, for we are many." Remember that? And so Jesus changed because that spirit wasn't coming out the same way as... But if you have a relationship with the Father that's active and you have faith, you say something that's supposed to happen, it doesn't happen, you listen, and he got different direction. Then he changed how he ministered, and then that spirit came out and then went into the pigs, right? And then out. Amen. So that's why... we know that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're just going to believe Him. But it's a relationship. If it's a relationship, if I need to say it different, then I'll know that. You'll know that. Say, "Well, something's not working for me." Well, if you're in a relationship with the Father, here's my point again. He's constantly working in us and toward us so that we will know what to do. If anything is necessary, if I need to say it a certain way or deal with a problem a certain way by speaking a certain thing, then I'll know that because I'm in fellowship with Him. And I don't think I only get one chance. That's why we never quit. Because if, man, well, I'm not getting any direction. Well, stay with it because he's staying with you. The Spirit of God isn't leaving you and I because we failed or missed it or didn't get it right away. He'll keep helping us. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, God is good. Praise God. What should we do now? One of the things that that Peter said. Look at, let me show you one more verse. 1 Peter. It's to a right of Ephesians, if you. 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. Notice that. Well, we'll just read verse 2 because that's right at the end of that. 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Notice this phrase. Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. One thing you'll see over and over in Scripture, all over the place, is a phrase, grace and peace. It was kind of like a greeting, but for sure it's a friendly greeting. You would read the writers, they'd say, grace and peace. And then Peter said here, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Well, what, one thing that tells me is that I can have the peace of God and then it can be multiplied. I can have the grace of God, but then it can be multiplied to me. Yeah, that tells me there's not a lid on this stuff. That I can have it, and I can have more of it. Amen. Now, this might be a stretch a little bit. Take this with a grain of salt, okay? Because there are different types of grace. There's grace that'll strengthen you. There's grace that'll save you. There's grace that'll enable you to serve God in a certain capacity. Those things can be increased. When it comes to grace that saves us, you know, I'm not apt to say you can have that you have a lesser portion of that. I believe we have it all available to us at all times. But I know in ministering that sometimes when there's a greater, I would call it anointing in this case, but when there's a stronger anointing, it's easier to get more people healed. In one sense, because anointing is not earned or anything like that, I could call that grace, and that would be a type of saving grace. That's my little stretch of theology right there. But I think you can get where I'm going. If grace and peace can be multiplied to us, that means it's easier for me to believe it. If there is a greater manifestation of God's part on me, then my faith, it's almost like it takes less effort, if you will, to lay hold of it. Does that make sense? And in this place, in our service tonight, I believe there's great grace upon us. And that it's being multiplied. Multiplied for our reception. Multiplied for our ease of receptivity. In other words, God in His grace and mercy is making it easier for us. Oh, wow, isn't that cool how He does that? He wants us to have what He promised so much that He is granting times of ease. You'll step into it. Say, I don't know if I believe that theologically. Well, do you think it would be easier to be healed, for example, in one of Jesus' mass meetings where everybody got healed, or just out on your own sitting on a rock? I'm not saying you can't get it sitting on the rock. You can. I'm just saying if there's an everyone gets healed meeting, I might want to be there. Does that make sense? Sometimes when there's a spirit of prophecy in a house, in a service, it can just be easier to get something. Because it's that move, that flow of God's Spirit. Before my time, but I've known many who've told the stories of our country, from 47 to 58, somewhere in there, there was a healing revival in America. Okay, those of you who are older and others may have read about it, but great healing tents, the A.A. Allens and the Oral Roberts and all those people had these massive, hold tens of thousands of people to cart these tents around, and they would have great healings, healing meetings and amazing things. But some of those people would say during that time, they said during that period, for whatever reason, there was just a tremendous move of God. They said it was the easiest thing in the world to get people healed. I mean, whereas it's not that they couldn't get them healed before or after, but there was a special move. They said it was so easy. They'd see the cripple walk without even, not like, I'm believing God here. It's just like, whoop, there you go. I do believe there's validity to me even saying, grace is multiplied so we can get stuff. It is by His grace that He shows up and moves and manifests. I tell you, there's a tremendous spirit in here. And whether you recognize that or not, I encourage you to believe it because you trust me. And it's time to reach out. It's time to receive from the Lord. It's time to let Him move in your life. And if things have felt like they're out of reach or they're a little bit distant or have been taken too long or something's been out there, how about today we just step up and say, Hallelujah, Father, I know You're here. I thank You. You're good to me. I thank You. If you have a specific request, make it. Ask Him. Ask Him in Jesus' name. Ask the Father for what He promised. Ask Him for in Jesus' name and let that move. But if not, if you already have and it's just time to be in faith and thank Him, then let's do that. The scripture says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Spirit said. They ministered to Him and the Spirit said. They ministered to Him and He ministered to them. Amen. And so some say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, sometimes that's our problem. We're just trying to figure out something to do. No, we're just going to believe. But our believing can be expressed often in just ministering to the Lord. I thank You. I trust You. I believe in You. Oh, I just praise You. Everything is going to be all right. Everything's good in here. I'm full of Your joy, full of Your peace, full of Your victory. I have answers and I know what to do. I have Your blessing on me through and through. It's flowing in and flowing out. Thank You, Lord. We're just smiling, praising Him, like we did earlier, and just let Him know how good He is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's great grace. There's multiplied grace and peace in the house tonight.